All right. We're going to be in 2 John. So if you go to 2 John, you're going to realize something. It's one chapter. It's all one thing, and we're going to do the whole thing today. Whoa. Hang on. Give you guys a second to get there. Okay, and it starts out with the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be forever, with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you. You from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we've worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be fulfilled. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Well, the first thing is the elder. Who's the elder? And that's John himself. And it said that John would have been about 90 years old and still doing the work of Christ. So if you think you're, I've heard it said from someone that was older who says, well, I don't have to do that anymore because I'm older. And that doesn't happen. God uses us all through our whole life. That's why we have grandkids too. So we can talk to the grandkids and spread the word of God to them. But also this was written between 85 and 90 A.D. And it said that he was the last apostle alive. And then it says, to the elect lady and her children. So who's the elect lady? Some say it's Mother, Jesus' mother, Mary. But that's kind of hard to believe, because if John's 90, that would put her about 120. I don't think so. Some say it's a lady named Kira, which I looked it up in Strong's, and it said there was a lady named Kira that it could have been. Some say it's just a local congregation, and they always refer to the lady as the church. It's kind of hard because, well, and also back then in the churches, they were in houses. They were having the churches in houses. They didn't really have a building like this and then come in and do this. But it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because we don't want to get caught up in the lady, and sometimes that's what happens when we read the Bible. We get caught up in something that we can't get over. And you got to let it go and let God speak the word to you, right? Because we're going to get into the meat of it. Then it goes on and says, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but all those who have known the truth. It's talking about fellow Christians that have been true to the service of the Lord. They not only understand it, but they lived it. And how do we know that they lived it? You go to verse 2, because of the truth which abides in us, and will be with us forever. In Ephesians, Paul mentions the word of truth. In Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, it says, in him you also trusted that you heard the word of truth, that the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantor of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, I also looked up, there's a word called, I knew this word. You get up here and you go, okay, what happened? Aletheia, which means, it's a Greek word for truth. And it means not hidden, revealed. That means the truth is not hidden and we know who God is. He's the creator of the universe. We know who the Son of God is, right? We know that he died for us on the cross. And he died for all of us on the cross, not just the ones who were going to believe in him, but he died for everybody on the cross. And he took those sins, and on the third day he rose again, right? 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? So that's the truth, right? And it goes on, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. That's a greeting. That's the greeting part of it, right? And I love the way it says, the way the greeting is. You know, because nowadays we're pretty much, hey, Dave, what's up? You know, how are you doing? You know, what's going on? I love the way they do these greetings, you know, in all the Bibles. You know, peace be with you. May the grace of God be with you, you know. Instead, we're like, hey, what's up, Dave? You doing all right? Yeah, I'm fine. No. We got to be more sincere. Yet your yes is be yes and your no's be no's. Well, now let's get into this letter and see what it says. Verse 4 says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. He's happy. He's joyous. You know, are we gracious and happy when we hear someone's walking in the truth, walking with Christ? I know if my kids were doing that, my daughter does, and I get happy about that. I'm so happy. And then when I meet people that they said they've turned their life over to the Lord, you get happy, you rejoice. That's great things. That's great news, right? That's really great news. James 2:18 says, show me your faith without works, and I will show you your faith by my works. Here it is. If you want to know that I truly believe, watch how I live my life. That's what it's saying. And in other words, when someone believes in Jesus, who is the truth, and thus comes to know the truth, that believer is transformed and set free to live out the truth in both word and action. So a lot of times we say, you know, when you leave here, how are you acting? You know, if you really, truly believe that Jesus is Jesus, that he died on the cross for you, and you have life after this. I mean, he's going to stand before the Father, and he's our attorney. He's going to take it all, and he has taken it all. You know, we should be walking with a great joy with that everywhere we go. So we shouldn't, you know, I love this saying that says, live simply so others may simply live. Do I cause people a bunch of static, you know, when I see them? Do I cause people to go, oh no, here comes Dennis. What's he going to do now, you know? No, really, though, we got to think about that. Do you have people that you go, oh no, they're coming over to the house. I don't know if I want to deal with this. You know, if someone's doing that, if I'm being that way to somebody, I'd like to know so I can change how I am. Because I don't want to be that way. I want to live simply so others can simply just live. But then I want to present the word of God to them. I want to tell them the truth. We want to let them know what the truth is. I was asked, why do you jump into everything and do everything? Is it because you want glory? Why do you jump in and do you volunteer for everything? And I said, and it's not that, honestly. It's just in my heart I want to serve. I want to serve God. I'm not serving the people. I'm not serving the issues. I'm serving God. Because God says, you know, do you love me? And I want to show him, like it says in James. I want to show you who I am, truly am with Christ. You know, and you can ask Pam. She's one that's always trying to tell me, you know, you're getting involved in too many things. But, you know, she knows my heart. My heart is I can't say no. And I did turn my phone off, Pam, to let you know, so people, when they start calling today, they can't get a hold of me. But I can't say no when people ask or when things need to be done. You know, I just can't say no. I have to jump in and help. And it's not, it's for God. I do it for God. A lot of times when I do things and I know I'm going to get burned, I know I have to let that go because I'm doing it for God. Let him. You know, just like if you pulled up to somebody that are standing on the corner, who was asked one time, should we give money to those people? And the guy, Brad Miley with the Denver Rescue Mission, said, you give it to them if you feel desired to give it to them, if God is telling you to give it to them, and let it go. You don't think about what they're going to go do with it if you're going to give them money. If you're going to give them food, that's good too. But you just, if you're giving somebody something, you got to let it go. That's why my motto, and here I'm glad my phone's off, is if someone comes to me and asking for money, we just give it. You know, we've had some relatives that have asked for money, and we just gave it. We don't want it back. It's a gift. Now, guess what? That takes everything out of it. You don't have to worry about it no more. You don't have to worry, well, when are they going to pay me back? Those son of a guns, they didn't ever pay me back. They're so mean, and da da da. You don't have to build that all up in your head, in your heart. You let it go. You let it go. I think that's why I was in the service industry, too. I was in the auto service industry, fixing people's cars and stuff. If I could have fixed them for free, I would have. And sometimes I was accused of not charging enough. But you know what? I just felt God was leading me to do this to help people. I would have loved to have been able to do that. Again, my phone is off, Pam, so don't worry about that. But seriously, I want to encourage you that we want to live consistently with who you are in Christ. You want to. You want to be consistent with him when you go and do things. It says, I'm a special instrument set apart, useful to the master in 2 Timothy. That's walking in truth. I know there's other of you that do the same thing. I know a lot of other people in here, the hearts. I know you would do the same thing. I'm not going to go naming names either, but everybody who walked through that church door, I believe, was that way. It's the same way. You help people. That's what God calls us to do. Yet it also says, found some of your children walking in truth. It says, some of your children walking in truth. That caught me. Christians can know the truth and yet not walk in it. You know that. There's some people that I know that believe in Christ, but they're not yet ready to walk in it, in the truth of Christ, in love. And that's scary. Because sometimes they wait to turn their life fully into God, to completely know him, and then something happens. You know, they get in a car wreck. You never know. I mean, we were watching the news last night, and there was like four people who, the first thing they talked about is four different people who died in different situations. I was like, holy cow. You know, and that's just in Denver. You know, I was like, wow, that's a lot. That is a lot. So it's one thing to be a Christian, it's another one to live it, right? As we receive commandment from the Father, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. He's talking about love one another. I had to change that in my life when I accepted Christ, to love everybody. That was harder, you know, because God says to love everybody, so how do you do that? And sometimes I can't do that. I just let him do it through me. You pray for that. But when you hear the word pray or you receive God, that it's a lot easier. You got to pray it out. You know, sometimes it's hard to love certain people in your life. And the time that I was being accepting Christ, there was people in my life I did not want to love. I was bound and determined to give them whatever they deserved, and it wasn't love. But once I accepted Christ, it was like it went away. Once you accept Christ, it just goes away. I don't need that. I don't need to have that burden anymore, that chain. I always think of a chain hanging around me. But it might not be a commandment, but something in our life where it holds us back from the great relationship with Christ. As far as other things in your life, when you're walking with God and you're praying about things, sometimes that you're going to get convicted by the Holy Spirit. And some people think that whenever someone's up here teaching, oh, they're teaching that to me because I'm doing something wrong and they know me, so this is directly at me. And that's, you know, the way we teach here, the way this verse by verse and going through this, because we've been going, I've done 1 John from 1 John 1 all the way through, and now we're in 2 John. You know, so if there's something I'm talking about now, it's not, I can't pick the day I'm going to be teaching. You know, sometimes we don't even know. Dave and I don't know. Bill will go, hey, I need you to teach this weekend. You know, one last Easter, Dave didn't know he was going to teach. Bill got sick, and he had to step up and teach, and he did a fantastic job. Yeah, but you were obedient to the Lord. That's what's great. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit convicts me, though, I know that I need to change. And a long time ago, in 2023, which was last year, I was up here and I was talking about giving your phone up, right? Sometimes our phone takes us away from taking that time with God. And I was telling everybody about this, and I was saying, you know, you got to think, is your phone taking up all this time from you? You know, that you could be talking to God, or you could be doing other things, or you're not paying attention to this or that. And I was convicted now. And it took me almost till January of this year to be convicted, you know? And I started breaking off that tie. So I started being more aware of it, and I was praying for God to help me with that. So the first week I did it, I actually cut off an hour and 29 minutes of my phone, which doesn't seem like a lot, but actually it is. The next time, I cut off another like 45 minutes the week after that, and it's been going on transitioning down to where I've cut off almost 4 hours and 13 minutes in 4 weeks. That's a lot of time. I didn't even realize I was on it that much. Pam did. She'd be talking to me, and then she goes, did you hear what I said? And I'm like, huh? I have no clue. And she'd love to come up here and talk about this. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we're not going to go there. No. But it's so funny because you get on your cell phone and you go, okay, I'm looking for something. I don't know. I'm looking to see, I don't know, what the temperature is going to be today or what's going on. And you start up and you open it up and, oh, that's cool. You know? That's interesting. I want to see how pineapples, how do you make a pineapple upside down cake? Ooh, okay, and you're going through that. Next thing you know, ooh, that canoe looks really cool. Yeah, ooh, wow, this is really neat too. Next thing you know, I'm looking at lawnmowers that have a 454 cubic engine in it. You know, and they could just drag down the road. How do you get to this stuff? You know, you get in there, and it's so funny because Pam's mom does that. She gets into it, and she's 97. She gets into it, she starts going, and then she's telling us all these weird things. It's like, you got to be kidding. We get on a rabbit trail. It's so easy, and that is the evil one. He is so good at that. Yeah, he gets into that, and you get, I just get convicted, you know. But it's taken me some time to open my eyes. It's taken me, 11, 12 months, almost 13 months to see that I had the problem, you know. And God was speaking to me at that day, you know, and I thought, I don't do it that bad, but I do. You know, and you're like, well, what does this have to do with love? Well, when I'm in other things, I can't love God, and I can't walk in the love of God. I can't walk in his truth. How do I walk in his truth when I'm busy doing other things? I'm not aware, you know. You might as well be drunk, because God's saying, you know, someone calls, and you're like, I can't answer that phone call because I'm on my phone. I'm doing other things, or I'm on the computer going all over the place, you know, trying to find out what they do in Bangladesh, you know, or something. Who knows? It says this, back into the scriptures, it says this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. This love he is talking about, that we walk in it, we want to help and tell people the truth. That's what we want to do. You should have that desire. We want that desire. We want to tell him the truth. We want to represent him well. So we want to be convicted. We want to change, to understand his ways, to be equipped. That's why we come to church. We want to be equipped, right? We want to trust him. We want to tell the world about him. There was a song by Don Francisco years ago, I know I'm dating myself, back in the 70s, 80s, that was Got to Tell Somebody. Yeah, you remember hearing that? Yeah, Dave's my age, so. Yeah. Don Francisco, he would take stuff out of the Bible and speak it, sing it, and it was really cool. Got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. Yeah. He is the creator. We did not come up from a big bang. I'm telling you, I never came from a big bang. Because if we did, how did we get a soul? You know, that's one easy one. How'd you get a soul? How'd we get such an intricate body that we can have eyesight? I don't know. I just don't believe that we ever came from a big bang. How do we know right from wrong? You know, because we know the truth. And the truth will set you free. We know what Jesus is. We know what God did for us, and that's all the truth. The truth is that Jesus did die on the cross and took our sins, right? 2 Timothy 24 says, allowing the Holy Spirit to do the works of conviction and change that only God can do. The Lord's faithful servant should depend on the Lord and focus on one goal, gently, confidently, consistently teaching the truth. So, you know, sometimes I know when I talk to people, I have to be careful that I don't get too rough with them, you know, and I don't think I have that problem. My problem is I need to listen to them. And I love the phrase, listen to hear instead of listen to tell. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when people are talking to you and you're they're not a believer and you want to tell them the truth, you don't really hear what they're saying. You're too busy waiting to pop in the, you know, what the scripture said. And be honest with you, I've been looking at some stuff about this kid that's teaching, I know it's in the phone and on the computer, but it's just interesting to me that he goes around to these gay parades and trying to preach to them the word of God. You know, and he's doing it in such a gentle way, he's actually brought two or three people to Christ through it. And it's so cool. But what the people say, they get so mad and so angry at him. But it's so cool because he's just keeping his calm. He doesn't change. You know, he is walking. He is walking in Christ. Sometimes it's so cool because we got to have that relationship with God in order to do something like that, right? And that's where I love verse be still and know that I am God. Because a lot of times when I do that, I think of me and God walking down a path and just him talking to me. I had a grandpa that did that with me once. We walked down the sidewalk and in this neighborhood, and he was just talking to me, and I was just listening to him. And I kind of visualized God doing that with us, because God wanted to walk the earth with man. He wanted to be here with us, but we messed it all up, right? And wouldn't that be cool? And I could just see me walking down there with God, and I got nice antique cars on one side and boats on the other, and God's just talking to me, you know? But that's mine. That's a distraction if I picture those cars and stuff. So, but my point is to take that time with God just to be still and hear him. You know, sometimes what we do is we get our minds going too fast and too many things going on, and we're praying about this, we're praying about that. We only go to God when we want to pray about things that are going wrong in our life. We should go to God when things are great in our life too. Or just go to him. Even when you got all those things going on, throw them aside, just walk with him or just sit down with him and just know who he is. Think about who he's done, what he's done for us. Think who Christ is. Just be still. And then you will hear things. You'll hear. And you might even hear where you need to change. Because we want to change. We want to become, you know, we want to learn where we need to change to be a better person, to be a better Christian, right? Verse 7 says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Deceiver implies imposing a false idea. or belief that causes ignorance, bewilderment, or helplessness. It's crazy. People are deceived mostly in our own thoughts and minds. We get it in our own minds. We get deceived. You know, even when we read the word, Christians, we can get deceived. But even if you put yourself, if I put myself in a dark, get one of my bedrooms, shut the windows, close the drapes, get in there, turn off the lights, so I can't see anything, I'll still come up with stupid stuff. You know, and it'll go weird, you know. So I'm sure the evil one would be there, you know, talking to me, and I'd be listening, which I shouldn't be. That's where you need to be still and let God know who's God. But people nowadays, we're so deceived so easily. Is it because we're on the cell phones? Is it because we're on the computers? Is it the technology that's doing it to us nowadays? You know, because if you think about it, years ago, my niece just posted something on today. She goes, she said that her son said, "Mom, when you were young, was it hard for you to do these iPad things, you know, to get on the iPads?" And she goes, "When I was young, for our entertainment, we blew into a fan to hear ourselves sound like Darth Vader." You know, really, we came up with ingenious ways. You had to think about things to do, right? Yeah, sometimes it got you in trouble, sometimes it didn't. I remember we thought, well, you know, it's snowing outside. We want to go sledding, but our streets were level. So we'd get a motorcycle, tie a rope to it, put an inner tube on it, and drive down the street with it, you know, and then bouncing off of cars, you know. And sometimes you didn't bounce. Sometimes you just got stuck, you know. But you came up with stuff. You thought about things. Your mind was used more. Now we don't, you know, they don't even need to, you can, okay, what's this word stand for? I don't know, go on the phone and look it up. Well, we used to have to go to a book. You had to go find the book. Then you had to know how to spell the word, you know. Now they don't even need to know how to spell the word. They just go, oh, it says, this is how it's spelled, you know. No. I remember I used to have like 20 phone numbers memorized. All my friends, right? Now if someone goes, what's your phone number? I go, this one right there. I don't know it. You know, we don't know. We don't remember things now. What's going on? You know, we need to. This technology is bad news for us. That's what I say. And you know what's bad is I've had my cell phone since 1999, the same number. Sometimes I can't remember it. They'll go, what's your phone number? I give them Pam's. And then she goes, why are these people calling me? I don't know. Talk to them. Well, they want you. Oh, okay. So I've heard people say that with the deceiver and stuff, they say, I've heard that the Bible was written by the government. I'm like, what? How can it be written by the government? That way there they can control you. But the Bible doesn't control you. The Word of God does not control us. Set you free. People say that God wants to put you to put everyone else first and him last. Well, no. That's not the way it is either. You're deceived. God just wants to control us. That's just it. Bottom line. No. God wants to kill babies. No. Where do you come up with that? Well, he allows them to be killed. So, yeah, and God won't even cure cancer. Well, let's think about that. Maybe God sent someone here to kill cancer or cure cancer, and you killed them in the womb. You know, we don't know. There's just so many weird things that people come up with just not to believe in God. I think it's harder when they start doing that. You know, we need to focus on who God is. That's why be still is really great. Look to yourselves that we do not, verse 8 says, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we have may received a full reward. It says, look to yourselves. Again, look to yourself, not to others, and say, why aren't you doing this or that? You want to receive the full award, you do it. You know, look to help. I know a lot of people in the past, since we've been here in this church, since, gosh, when we were at Dorlee's, it was a house that we started the church at, and people would say, you know, you should do this. You should, I've really been praying about this, Dennis, and you really should start this Bible study, men's Bible study. I'm like, really? Gosh, I wish God would let me know that. But he's talking to you, so I must be true, you know. But you know what? Sometimes when they do that, it's like, well, why don't you do it? You know? Well, it'd be good for my husband if you did it. Well, maybe your husband should do it. Talk to him. I don't know. But sometimes you got to be careful with that. But anyway, it says, Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done the many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's a fear of mine, to be honest with you. I do not want to go to heaven and God says, well, I do not know you. That's why we got to get to know him. And there's a difference between knowing him and know him. You know, you got to know who God is. You got to have that relationship with him. In prayer, reading, join a Bible study, just get around other Christians. You know, because it's like I was saying earlier, it's hard to be around people who don't believe. And I'll get into that a little bit more. But really get to know who God is. That's very, very important. You know, someone could be really good, a good person, but if they don't know Christ, it says you have to go through Jesus to get to heaven. You got to know him. It says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. There you go. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Back then when John wrote this, he was referring to new teachings that were coming around through that area, and they were talking about the rejection of the faith. They were teaching rejection of the faith, which was really wrong. But those were deceivers back then. See, we think, oh, all this stuff is new. Nothing is new under the sun. Everything, I mean, this has happened years ago. Even before Christ came, I mean, things we hear about happening were happening then. You know, you think Abel, Cain and Abel, they killed his own brother. You know, I mean, you hear about people killing their brother. Well, that's not new. That happens. Does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, but does not have God. Does not have eternal life and fellowship with God. Threats to the church come from not only outside, but inside. But from within. And Paul even wrote that some Corinthians had no knowledge of Christ that were actually in the church. They had no knowledge. And we're doing a study in Corinthians, and we're reading that. Corinthians were, they were kind of getting, they had deceivers among them, I'd say. They were getting confused on some of the things they were doing, and he kept having to straighten them back up, Paul did. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For if he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. That's tough because you think, well, do I not want to have people who don't believe in my house? That's really not what it's saying. This refers to traveling teachers at that time and preachers who were working against the true Christian teaching. Okay? And it says that what they were doing, if they went into their house, then they would think that they're okay with them. They're like, oh yeah, I'm good with that. It's okay that they're deceivers. It doesn't bother me. And then back then, because most of the teachings were done in the house, that's what was bad about it. So you just didn't want to do that. You didn't want to invite them in and stuff. So you had to be careful. And I know that I've had some people that look at me different because, you know, I had a brother-in-law who rode with the Sons of Silence, you know, and I'd go to my sister's house or something, and it was before I met Pam, but I took a couple other guys there that were Christians, and we just went in there to say hi to my sister, and they were like, oh my gosh, you went with the biker? I'm like, he's a person too. He's got a heart. He's got, you know, everybody in this world has a heart, but you got to be careful with that. There's a balance there. You know, we start doing that. You know, here sometimes too, we do get some deceivers that want to come in here and teach. We get letters sometimes, we get emails, and we get phone calls from people who want to come in and teach the Word of God, they say. And Bill and I usually talk about it, you know, we go do research on it, and some of these people, we don't want them in here teaching. And plus, not only that, they want a lot of money. They come in here and they want a lot of money to come in here to teach and preach, like they're going around in the circuit, you know. And we're just not a church that does that. And thank God for Bill being here and Dave and the guys, you know, it's we want to keep those kind of people out. Because, you know, Chuck Smith, when he taught, he never went and took any money from anybody else. He went and did it for free, you know. And we've had people who, you know, before Dave and I would jump up here and teach, Bill would ask some other guys to come in, and those guys usually wrote the check back that we paid them for. We would give them a little bit of money, mainly for their gas and stuff, and they would give the check right back and say, here, I don't want it. So that's when you know someone's heart. They're walking in the truth, to be honest with you. That's walking in the truth. It says, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for if he greets him, shares his in evil deeds. Such a welcome would give the appearance of endorsing the false teachings. That's what it is. Early churches were in houses, too. So it was easy to see who was going into each other's houses. So this had to be hard because you were also wanted to be hospitable to the people, right, who were truly searching. But even today, it would seem like someone come into your home and, you know, wonder what people think. But that's, we're not so much as judgmental out here because it's hard to see who goes into his home. We're all so far apart. But so as Christians, we're not only faced with our own issues, but we have to open up our heart to show God's love to others too. Even non-believers, yet having discernment. It's not an easy task. Loving others is one of the most sinful things we can do that we can be told that we need to do. It's not easy. But when we think about loving others, and it's hard, you got to think what Jesus did for you. He loved everybody. I mean, he does not want one to perish. And he got on that cross for everyone's sins. That just blows me away when you think of that. I mean, even the worst people in the world you can think of. Hitler, you know, he got on that cross for Hitler. You know, he got on the cross for everybody. So that's a tough one. You know, you got to think about that. Think about the person who cut you off in traffic. Think about the person who lied about you. Did something, you know, think about the one who bullied your child. Or the one that you hear that killed a child. You know, it's hard to love those people, but we can do that through Christ. A lot of times it makes my blood boil when I hear some of those things. But you got to let it go. You got to let God deal with it. God, it's got it. It's easy to love the people who love you back. You know, it's real easy. So, Matthew 5:44-45 says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Sometimes the closest to us can be the hardest to deal with when we're trying to walk out God's calling in our lives. They can honestly be a hindrance with the things they say about us and do. They look at us like we have three heads and have come to another planet, saying things like, you're not who you think you are, reminding us constantly of the past, to who we were, you know. So it's good to walk in God's way because they can't say anything. They're just mad because a lot of times they want to walk that way too. They just have that hole. We all have that desire to be with God. Everybody has that desire. A lot of people just fight it and they don't want to have it. They don't want to deal with it. I don't need that is what they're thinking. And that's not true. You know, there's a lot. I think everybody in here is facing something with that, right? But walk with Christ. Walk in the truth that you know who God is, right? You know where you're going. Have that confidence. Have that confidence. And then show them that confidence. Let them know. Let them know. Don't be ashamed of who God is. You know, let them know who God is. And tell them, you know, if it wasn't for God, I couldn't love you. Our lives, if our lives were always comfortable, and cozy with no trials or tribulations, we simply wouldn't grow. You know, we need those things. You know, so when they come to you, that's when James says, be happy. You know, that's good when those things come. It shows you where you might need to change too, you know. But when we get squeezed, we usually, about a difficult or an uncomfortable situation, it oozes out some ugly stuff that we don't like, right? But then we can look at ourselves, be still and know, and let God speak that to you, where you need to change. I know it's not a pretty picture, but it's actually a fact. Verse 12 says, having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you, speak face to face, and our joy may be full. And the children of the elect sister greet you. Amen. You know, I would rather talk to you face to face too. You know, texting, a lot of times when I'm texting somebody, I got to call them or go talk to them because it just doesn't work. You know, and that way there you can show your emotion to them. Sometimes when you text things, I've had people come up with emotions that I don't know how you got an emotion out of that. It was on a phone. Yeah, but they do. They do. But if you want to know what I truly believe, watch carefully the way I live. That's what I want everybody to remember today. When you walk out of here, people are watching carefully the way you live. They're trying to see, you're a Christian, how do you live? No one will do it more than your family, too, or your closest friends. You know, hopefully our closest friends are other Christians, so we can walk together. But it says, so let us not be so quick to run from adversity, for it just may be that during our worst suffering, we find out who we really are, and what we see just might change us in the way that nothing else could have ever done. And that's because God's going to change you, right? God changes us, and he wants to work. We're all working in progress. So just let God work, do his work in you, all right? So that's all I have. So I just want you to realize when you leave here, people are watching you, and you should walk in Christ. Walk in the truth. And the truth is Christ. Dear God, I just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what your son did on the cross for us, Lord. I'm so grateful that I got to know you at an early age and that I got to see where I need to change, Lord. And sometimes I'm rebellion. I have a rebellion heart in me, and I try to fight it and stuff, but I know eventually you win, Lord. When I get to be still and know who you are, when I quit worrying about what's going on in the world around me and just focus on you, that's when things start to happen, Lord. I need to focus more on you and not on me, Lord. Where do I need to change, Lord? You show me, and the Holy Spirit does give me discernment, Lord, and I do have some stings sometimes, Lord, and that's good. And when that ugliness comes out, Lord, I see you. I see you as the doctor, Lord. I see you with your arm around me, holding me, because you died for me. And you want to take those sins away. You want to give us a life of joy. It isn't about the money, Lord. It isn't about anything else, but just walking with you is enough joy. We just praise you. We give you thanks and praise for whoever's not here today, Lord, I lift them up to you. Whoever's sick, Lord, I ask for healing. Whoever's struggling with things, is probably all of us struggling with something, Lord, just lift it up to you. I just pray that we walk with you this day and that when we walk out of here, Lord, that people see that we are walking with you, that we are walking in the truth because you are our King. I just praise you and give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may stand.